And what's the title of our message this Lord's Day? All right. Praise God. Pastor Rick. Amen. Oh, all right. Praise God. All right. Say that again.
Don't start nothing.
All right, praise God. Now today's message, it comes with a challenge, and it's an aggressive challenge. Don't start none and there won't be none. I want you to turn to your neighbor and just tell him that. Don't start none and there won't be none. All right, praise God. Well, before we get into this lesson, let us join our hearts in prayer. Praise God. We thank you, Lord, for all of your goodness. We thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet. Oh, God, we thank you as we now actively listen to the preaching of your word. Oh, God, that you would inspire us, that you would fill us with your power, that you would shape us, and that you would lead us by your precious Holy Spirit, deepening our commitment to you, hallelujah, and to your heart. And what matters to you. May we continue to fall passionately in love with you and passionately in love with those who do not yet know you, so that we would be vessels that you mightily use to draw others unto yourself. And so we thank you ahead of time, and it's in the mighty name of Jesus, all God's saints join together to say, amen and amen. Amen. Don't start none and there won't be none. All right. Well, in the language of the streets, there's a phrase, don't start nothing and won't be nothing. And it usually means that I want you to back off because I'm not trying to go to no higher level with you. You know, just back up a little bit. But saints, the Samaritan woman, she took it to another level. And, I mean, sister, girlfriend, she started something. She started something. And so today I want to challenge us, like the Samaritan woman, for us to get excited. Let's take that excitement right into our lives, telling others about Christ, living for Christ, witnessing for Christ. Let's take it to another level. All right, high five somebody and say, let's take it to another level. Let's take it to another level. Amen. As Christians, we should testify to the goodness of the Lord, amen. And if we don't start nothing, there ain't gonna be nothing, amen. All right, it's us that God has placed in this earth to make a difference for Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus, just before he ascended in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen and amen. Praise God, Frank. Jackie Rush, she was telling me a funny story based on this scripture passage. She said there was a person who was just terrified to get on the plane, and her Christian friends kept telling her, you know the Lord is going to be with you. You just go on, girl. She says, no, I'm catching the train. I'm catching the bus because the Lord said, lo, I am with you always. Lo. He didn't say hi. He said lo. So I'm going to keep low. So the Lord, I know that the Lord is with me. Praise God. Amen. Well, saints, if we want to see great things happen in our lives, how many want to see great things happen in your life? Great things happen through our church. Great things happen in the community, in the world. Guess what? We got to start something. We got to start something. Amen. If we want to identify people in our lives, if we want to go out and meet people who don't yet know Jesus Christ and who have all kinds of needs in their lives, we've got to start something, amen, so that others can have abundant life. They can have eternal life as well through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish. So that is our purpose. It's our mission. We've got a mission, and that means starting something. Now, Glenville New Life Community Church, our purpose, and we all know that, and I want us to say what it is, our purpose is to enter into a right relationship with God and be equipped for the ministry of Jesus Christ to make a difference in the lives of others. Amen. Praise God. So our mission, our purpose is not just to come and celebrate. We have a good time when we get together, whether it's Sunday morning and we're celebrating the love of God, and whether it's through the week in Bible study and all the ministries. But we come to get energized so that we can go back into the world and start something for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We got to evangelize. We've got to witness. Because, saints, there's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of loss, sorrow. It's so much out there. And Jesus wants to use us, amen, to go and start something. Praise God. So ask your neighbor right now, please, what you waiting for? All right, what you waiting for? All right. Now let's take a look at this Samaritan woman. She really started something. Now much has been said about this woman. She, like many women today, we see, think that there's somewhere out there a certain man who's going to meet their needs. She thought, if I could just find that one man, he's going to give my life fulfillment and contentment. I'm going to have everything I need. Well, men and women alike are looking for simple solutions or quick fixes in our lives to answer our loneliness or our lack of self-esteem. But saints, the answer to our inner thirst, and this is what it is a complete surrender to God. No matter what our status, what our roles are, each of us must make a complete surrender to God. That is where our fulfillment really lies. Now we see the woman at the well, she had been looking for love in all the wrong places. All right, it was like one quick fix after another. But the reality is, saints, that there is not a perfect man anywhere that's going to fit and, for a perfect woman, and there's not a perfect woman that's going to be able to fulfill perfectly a man's life. There just isn't. For we see in the process for someone to fill her life, this Samaritan woman, she became empty of self-worth, empty of significance and value. You see, she had lost trust in promises and commitment. And we see in our text she was with her sixth man, and she didn't even bother with marriage this time. But before we can come down too hard on sister girlfriend, how many know that she hasn't been the only one looking for love in all the wrong places? All right, praise God. All of us, and let's say all of us, fall into the trap of looking for love in all the wrong places. We look to quench our spiritual thirst by looking for plain old well water. But that ain't what God had in mind. We go to relationships. I know this is going to fulfill me. Or we go to a career. I know I'm going to be fulfilled now. Or we say, oh yeah, let me go over here and buy this car. I know I'm going to be fulfilled. Or let me go over here and shop till I drop. That's what makes me feel fulfilled. Some of us then turn to alcohol. Or we turn to drugs. Or we turn to food or shopping, or we can just, you name it, we can do it. Amen. We try to satisfy our thirst with entertainment. We just watch sports morning, noon, and night, or we just do shop morning, noon, whatever it is. Some of us, we going to go out and try to buy everything. We're going to accumulate a lot of stuff. We're going to have a lot of stuff. That's going to make us feel fulfilled. But we make the same mistake, saints, over and over, over and over. We get high and we get dry. Maybe you today know someone like that. Maybe you today are that person. Well, friends, Jesus, everybody say Jesus. Jesus offers us the only solution for our parched lives. It's only Jesus. And Jesus, praise God, has offered you and me the same living water that he offered the woman at the well. Now you see, the woman at the well, she didn't want to face up to her past. For reasons unexplained, there have been multiple husbands in her life. And Jesus tells her that her present husband is not her husband. And so the woman at the well then She says, oh, I see you are a prophet. She could see that. And so she says, well, okay, sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. And so she then brought up a religious controversy like a smokescreen because Jesus was getting a little too close, so she didn't want to talk about that. Oh, hallelujah. You know, she had to, like, change the subject. You know how we change the subject. But I want to say to us, when we go out and when we're witnessing to the goodness of the Lord, don't let people get you on tangents. Don't let them put smoke screens in front of you and you forget which way you were going. I remember when we went out Christmas time and we were inviting people to come over to our Christmas celebration. And so this gentleman over at the mall, I had invited him and gave him a flyer. And he says, I'm not coming over there. I don't believe in Jesus. He said, because you know what? Jesus wasn't born on no December 25th. I know that. And I said, sir, I know that too. He most likely was born in the spring. But we have chosen December 25th as the day that we're going to celebrate his birthday. And he says, well, if you can't have the right date, then I don't want anything to do with it. I said, well, sir, let me say this to you. Jesus, I invited him into my life. And I have not been the same since. And he has been transforming me, making a way for me. He has been blessing me. He has been lifting me up. I am just getting my visions and my dreams fulfilled through him. I am saved. I'm sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. So, sir, it doesn't matter to me really which day he got here, but I know he did arrive. And I accepted him as Lord and Savior, and you need him as your Lord and Savior too. He was like, he just, now what? Amen. Amen. Don't let people, you know, get you all sidetracked and you get in an argument. Well, I don't know if it's December 20. No, just tell them the truth. Leave it. Amen. And go on. And God will continue to work in their hearts. Well, there was a woman at the well, and she was talking with Jesus. And he says, believe me, woman, a time is coming when worship will have nothing to do with where you are. A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers of God will worship God in spirit and in truth. For these are the kind of worshipers that God seeks. God is spirit, and God's worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. And she then said, well, where can I worship God? Jesus says, it's not where, it's who. Hallelujah. It is who. Praise God. For you see, saints, when the Lord is in your heart, you can worship anywhere. It don't matter where you are, in the car, in the bedroom, out in the grocery store. Hallelujah. You can worship. I want us to look, she says, where, and he says, God is spirit. God's worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So, saints, I want you to listen carefully. True worship happens when God's Holy Spirit connects with our spirit. That is true worship, when you are connected by the Holy Spirit to God. That's when true worship happens. So it don't matter if it's in prison. It doesn't matter if it's in your living room. You can be at work, hallelujah, and you can be having true worship with the Lord your God, because worship takes place in our hearts, hallelujah. True worship is God's Spirit connecting to our spirit. Well, we see the woman at the well, she felt, the walls of, she had all kind of defense. You know, when we go through so many heartaches in our life, we begin building these walls around our lives. We build walls around our hearts. But just talking to Jesus, she could feel some of those walls starting to crumble down, you know. But it took a life trying to build them walls, so she wasn't going to let them just crumble down right away. So she just makes one more effort to try to hold on. And she says, well, I know that the Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus says in John 4, 25 and 26, I who speak to you am he. Hallelujah. She's like, what you talking about? You're the Messiah? What you talking about? Woo! She said, now I'm going to wait until the Messiah comes. And he says, I am the one that you are speaking to. I am the Messiah. So she knew at that moment, oh, wow, she is speaking to the Messiah. And those eyes of love, she is right. She is like looking into the eyes of God. She is hearing the voice of God right before her. And so as she looked into the eyes of God, you know, hope sprang into her heart, a heart that she thought had died, a heart that she thought had turned to stone. Hope sprang into her heart, saints. And scripture says she left her water pot and she went flying, hallelujah. And when she came back, she brought a crowd with her. She got started, amen. She started something, amen. Scripture says Jesus stayed there in Sychar for 2 more days, offering living water to anyone and everyone who believed. Praise God for sister, girlfriend at the well, amen. Now it's like the Samaritan woman at the well. Occasionally, all of us find ourselves in the pits. We find ourselves discouraged. We find ourselves disappointed, amen? We find ourselves even seeping into depression. And we find ourselves looking for love in all of the wrong places. Now, when these feelings overwhelm us, saints, and they will from time to time, when we find ourselves in the pits of despair, in the pits with hopeless feelings, we got to get a wake-up call. Huh? Just touch somebody, say, wake-up call time, wake up. When we are in the pits of life, we need help from God to come and deliver us, whether it's from emotional, financial, physical, spiritual, mental, social, low predicament. It don't matter what it is. We need God to come and deliver us. Praise God. God is able. Now, sometimes God comes directly. Sometimes God sends somebody our way right quickly. But we thank God. God is able. The Lord will provide. At our Old Testament, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Oh, Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Tell your neighbor, be patient. You got to be patient. Be patient. It's hard, but it's one of the fruits. I waited patiently for the Lord and turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. Out of the mud and mire, he set my feet on a rock and gave me a place to stand. Hallelujah. I know there's somebody in here today that the Lord picked you up. And you can testify, yeah, I was sinking. I was depressed. I was feeling discouraged. And the Lord lifted me up. I want you to turn to your sermon note sheet. And I just have a few quick lessons that we learn here from this Samaritan woman. The Lord will get you out. Would you turn, just nudge your neighbor and say, the Lord will get you out. Whatever, the Lord's going to get you out. Whatever you're going through, the Lord is going to get you out. Now, the Lord got me out. I thank you, Lord, for getting me out. Didn't know what I was doing, where I was going. I felt as lost as I could possibly be. I was lost. But I thank you, Lord, for helping me find you and find my way, for picking me up out of the mess I was in. Now, God can do that for me, for you, and for others as well. Praise God. So the first lesson I want us to learn quickly from this text is what? God brings us up. Praise God. This is a powerful change. Today, no matter how low, no matter how worthless, no matter how lonely you may feel, God has the wonderful ability to bring us up. Oh, praise God. Never think you're so low that God can't pick you up and turn you around and place your feet on solid ground. God is able to accomplish this in our lives. What is the second thing we see from this Samaritan woman? The lifter of my head. You see, she had been scorned. She would go and get water when nobody else would. She could go in the hot noon sun because people looked down on her. They scorned her because they knew about her life. They weren't kind to her. And so her head was down. Her head was down in her heart. Now, God causes us to look up. God is the one. God is the lifter of our heads, the shield about us. So no matter how down you may be feeling, no matter how discouraged you may be, remember, God will lift you up. Hallelujah. Now, what is the third thing we learn from this Samaritan woman? Woo! When Jesus comes in, we don't stay the same. Jesus is the true transformer. Once he comes in, get ready, because you're getting ready to move to some new levels. Hallelujah. Amen. How many can testify today that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. He's the one that keeps me. He's the one that I adore. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Amen. God always brings us to new levels. So what's the fourth lesson we learned from this woman? Higher goals. Let's read Colossians 3:1 together. If then you be raised with Christ, set your affections on things above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Amen. So we've got a job here to do. All right. If we're going to be raised to higher goals and higher levels, we've got to set our affections where? On things above. Amen. Not on the things that you used to down at the club or whatever, you know. We got to start thinking on things above. Heavenly thoughts. Amen. That we might make a difference on this earth. Praise God. All right, number five. God brings us
out.
The two examples of what God brings us out of are pit and miry clay. All of us at some time get stuck in the mud. We get stuck in the clay. And only Jesus can get us unstuck. Only Jesus can get us out. Hallelujah. Only Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. And sometimes trying to get out of the mud, we just get deeper as we try to, almost like quicksand, we just find ourselves. So when you find yourself sinking, just call on his name. His name is Jesus. Jesus, come and get me out of this. Amen. Amen. And keep your affections on him. Stay focused on the Lord Jesus. All right, the sixth thing we learn from this passage, Jesus gets people moving again toward goals and dreams in their life. Hallelujah. Ain't that good?
Yes.
Satan don't want you to have God's best for your life. He's a robber. He's a thief. He wants to kill and destroy you. Satan steals our hopes. He steals our visions. He steals what God has for our life. Say, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me in the name of Jesus. Jesus is alive and I've got victory in him. Amen. Oh, and Jesus will get you moving again toward goals and dreams in your life. All right, saints, number seven. God comes in with the power of change. Amen. Oh, when God comes in, oh, what a change. Oh, what a wonderful change in my life. None of us can stay the same when Jesus comes in. Hallelujah. So today, if you feel your life is in a rut, you might not want to raise your hand on that one. If you feel trapped by anything in your life, anyone you just can't seem to get out of, know that God is a wonderful God. God has all power in God's hands, and God will release you. God will set you free. And Scripture says, the one that the Son sets free, hallelujah, is free indeed. Oh, I pray that each of us today are going to be set free indeed. Praise your name, Lord God. Oh, when that Samaritan woman at the well, she started something, y'all. And I wanted us to be like her. Just go and tell people. Tell people, oh, I accepted him and what a change in my life. I'm not yet what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Hallelujah. And you know what? When she went, she told people she had met Jesus. She had met the Messiah. And saints, what made them listen to the woman was the change in her life. They could see a change in her life. Now, saints, if you and I, we going home and we still the old devil in the house, we the devil in the neighborhood, and we the devil at work, we the devil at school, we just a mess, just telling people, giving people bits of our mind whenever we feel like it. That's why we don't hardly have no mind left. We just been giving it away. If you've been acting like that, and reacting in ways, and you continue, you going around, yeah, I met Jesus, get out my way. I met Jesus, woo, let me just take that, ain't nobody looking. All of these things, people listened to her because they saw a change in her life, praise God. Now, when we go out there and we're telling people about Jesus, and they see a change in our life, Hallelujah. They're going to listen to us too. Amen. Because they're going to say, woo, I know what he used to be. Woo, I know when she would have told me off real fast. I know when she would have cut my head off and put it right in that basket over there. But what a change I can see in her. Now, if we allow that change that Christ does in our hearts and our lives, then it's just a simple matter of telling them, come on to church with me. I want you to just meet Jesus over here. I want you to hear. There's going to be something said to help you on your way today. Come on, Jesus, what he did for me, I know he can do for you. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God, because when we've been there ourselves, oh, you could help others to get there. Praise God. When you know that you know that you know. Oh, praise God. Being a witness is telling and sharing others, showing them the Lord Jesus, showing them that you found him and that he has changed your life and can change theirs. And we see here in this text, because of this woman's testimony, because she got something started, a many great believed and followed Jesus. They said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you said, but we've heard him for ourselves, and we know, yes, that he is indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. But they wouldn't have known if Sister Girlfriend had to go running down there and tell him, I found the Messiah, hallelujah. She got something started, amen. And saints, I want to encourage us, every day you and I are in contact with people, just like this Samaritan woman. And we might not know, some people, they hide their hurt very well. We don't know just how much pain really is in their life. You know, some people, they're able to wear a mask to just cover the tears and the sadness in their life and the sadness that exists beyond the surface of their life. Now, it may be your next door neighbor, and you may have a next door neighbor. We have one of our members, and he shares with me often, he's got a next door neighbor who is from hell. She's the devil straight from hell. She just causes everybody on the street havoc, pain, suffering, and sorrow. Well, you know what? Keep living in front of her. Keep shining, I'm telling you. And our member, when she went to the hospital, nobody else on the street went to see her, but our member, he went, and she was surprised, and he was a blessing. And then when she finally came home, for a minute, she was acting better. Hallelujah. Amen. But she done slipped back a little bit now. So keep praying, amen. And keep shining, keep showing the change in your own life. It may be a neighbor, it may be a family member, it might be a spouse, it might be a coworker, it might be somebody at school, it could be a student, it could be a professor, it could be anybody. But it's that private pain that we all live with in everyday life, and some don't know what to do with it. We have learned and are learning to give it to Jesus. Give it all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, broken hearts, broken toys. Give them to Jesus, and he will turn your sorrow into joy. And that's what we need to let them know. You see, pain in our lives is often caused by sin and shame and failure in our own lives. And it's hard for people to talk about it. But if you've changed and you're observing them and you have the opportunity, and Holy Spirit says, go over there now. It's now the time. I want you to go over there. Be obedient, amen, and get yourself over there and start something in that person's life, in their family, amen, in this world. Saints, what God wants to do today, God wants to set this church on fire. Hallelujah. God wants the Holy Spirit to just blaze through us in every area of our lives. God wants us to burn afresh. Oh, with the Holy Spirit, amen. He wants us to be consumed with the fiery presence so that we're going to shine with God's glory at home, at school, at work, in our community. Hallelujah. The fire that's so deep is like shut up in our bones. Hallelujah. Oh, we can't stay quiet. We can't keep our mouth shut. We got to go and tell somebody. We got to go and get something started somewhere for the Lord Jesus. Saints, we need to go forth. I want you to just high five your neighbor and say, neighbor, go start something. Go start something. Start talking about Jesus. Start talking about his power to forgive. Start talking about Jesus. Start talking about his saving grace in your life. Start talking about Jesus and his love for your soul. Hallelujah. Start nothing and it won't be nothing, saints. Scripture tells us Jesus told his disciples that if they had the faith of a mustard seed, they could speak to the mountain and the mountain would move out of their way. Hallelujah. I don't know about you today, but I've had some mountains in my life, saints. And it's been by the grace of God that I've been able to make it. Hallelujah. This far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in God's holy word. So if you don't start nothing, there won't be nothing. Amen. Now, like the Samaritan woman, when the Lord Jesus has saved you from where you were, from a sinner, and made you brand new, when the Lord has given you grace and forgiven you and lifted you up and placed you on solid ground, when the Lord has filled you with the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you have the privilege of daily walking and journeying with Jesus in your life, you know about the comfort from his assurance. You know you've been strengthened by his power. It wasn't your own strength, it was the strength of God. You've been encouraged through God's encouragement. And when you know that, you need to go out and start something. You need to go tell somebody, hallelujah, Jesus is his name. They beat him and they whipped him and they killed him and he died, he was buried, but praise God, he rose again that you might have life, that we all might have life, hallelujah. Tell somebody like the Samaritan woman, start talking, start something for the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God, and what a difference you will make in this world for Christ. Now, saints, I want us to end this message together. I can imagine her after she said, oh, you are the Messiah, and she received him into her heart. And she just left her pot, scripture says, and she went flying back to town. And I can imagine her singing to them when she got there. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified, just as if I had never sinned. Freed me forever. One day, he's coming back like he said he would. What a glorious day. Could you rise with me? I want us to get a little practice in because you're going to leave this place today and you're going to go forth and you're going to start something. You're going to start something for the Lord Jesus. All right. Put your hands together. We're going to close this sermon together. This is a little practice. This is what you're going to tell people as you witness to them.
He loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified, freed me forever, one day he's coming back, what a glorious day.
Something for the Lord. Let's join our hearts in prayer. We say thank you, Lord. And indeed, people need the Lord. We all need you, Lord Jesus. Oh, because life is hard. This is a world that is filled with sin and suffering. And Lord, we feel lonely at times and discouraged. But it's you. You are our rock. You are our shield. You are our lifter. You are a shield about us. You love us with an everlasting love. It is that relationship with you in which we find true fulfillment. No matter what our role, no matter what our status, no matter what is going on, it's all about you, Lord Jesus. Because nothing in our life compares to you, Lord Jesus. So we thank today that for this message, for the model of the Samaritan woman. Oh God, she was down, but she found you. You found your daughter, hallelujah. And we thank you that this message came with a challenge. That like the Samaritan woman, we need to go forth and we need to be starting stuff all over the place for your glory and for the furtherance of your kingdom, so that others who do not yet know you, because you desire that no one be lost, make it so through us is our prayer. And we give you thanks and praise. If there's someone here today that has not yet given their heart to you, Lord Jesus, may they not leave this place today without opening their heart and inviting you to come on in. And Lord, you can begin your saving, transforming process that you desire to do for each of us. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. And all God's saints join together to say, amen and amen.